Welcome back to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about AI again, because from what Tony tells me, our last AI episode did exceptionally well.
And it's been 32 weeks since we've talked about it. So
32 weeks?
Yeah, so that's like a lifetime in AI world.
I don't even remember what we talked about last time.
I don't know. The title was clickbaity. I think I used AI to create it, but it was like, will AI take over your life, your job, or the world? And it was basically about, you know, if you're out there creating content, are you going to be dethroned by AI?
Yeah. So that was more like a high level discussion.
Yeah. Because there wasn't as much out there back, like when we did this episode, it was like the beginning of the year.
That's true. I think I was scared in the beginning. I'm still scared.
I'm skeptical. So I think this is what's crazy about AI is that it's been less than a year, but already we're seeing people pinged on places like Amazon for putting together like AI content, like these low content products, right? So in less than a year from like people starting to do it to now, there's already been some negative repercussions. There's a lot of positive, a lot of good ways you can use it. But I think this is a little bit what we talked about early on, was it'll be interesting to see like what people can get away with and what you can't.
Well, we do know that waves of people got banned on Amazon, right?
Yep.
For putting out, just for pumping out these eBooks.
Yeah.
Right. If you look on YouTube now, there are a ton of faceless videos where there's an AI voice. And I'm pretty sure YouTube's going to crack down on all that stuff. I mean, it's just spam. Some of them are actually well done, but
we get asked that a lot, actually, especially when we do webinars and we talk about YouTube and people say, oh, I'm interested in YouTube, but I don't ever want to use my face. I think actually using your face is going to be a differentiator, like moving forward, because so much of this content is faceless that the AI is producing, that actually showing your face on a video is probably going to be a bonus for you if you want to start creating video content.
Which I find completely ironic. So actually, I don't know if you get these ads, but on YouTube, every other ad that I get is a course on how to start a faceless YouTube channel. Well, you don't have to do any work. You just collect images and then have AI caption them for you and everything.
I have seen like one or two of those. But you know what's funny is that I feel like this is every time there's a way to make money online, right? Which is like a phrase that will get you banned from Facebook ads and, you know, all this stuff. Everyone jumps on the bandwagon to do the shadiest stuff, right? The bare minimum, the low value. I'm in like these Amazon influencer groups and everyone's like, oh, we can make all this money being an Amazon influencer. And you can, but they are putting together the worst videos, right? Like they're videoing their nightstand that is covered with garbage, right? And they're talking about like a phone charger and they're like, Amazon's not approving my videos. And I was like, well, of course not. They're garbage. Like Amazon created this program for people to buy more stuff on Amazon, not to see your dirty bedroom. But I think that's the same thing with like, you know, creating faceless content on YouTube, creating these products like KDP type products for Amazon, even blog articles, right? Remember that one guy that you said wrote like 1,000 articles? He had all that stuff, but it was all kind of AI generated. And then he basically dropped off the face of Google, right? Because he got penalized. Because at the end of the day, if you're just completely relying on AI to do this stuff for you, your content's going to be pretty low value. It's going to be low quality. And eventually, even though it's not all been sorted out yet, I think you will lose that game. You'll win the game, but you'll lose the war, I guess.
Well, I mean, you might make a couple bucks.
Right. You'll like make a couple bucks. You'll get on KDP, you'll sell a couple books, and then you'll get banned from Amazon, right? So then it's like, well, now you've completely lost that avenue.
I mean, this all reminds me, and since we've been doing this for a long time, it reminds me of Black Hat SEO.
Yep.
So back in the day, everyone was just trying to game Google, and then Google came back with all these algorithms to defeat it. This is the same thing. AI is like the next Black Hat SEO method, I guess, or whatever.
But all that to say, I think you can leverage AI to help you run a more efficient business, and it can help you with certain things in your business. I just don't believe at this point it is the business.
For sure. And I mean, I'm going to be straight up. I use it every day. Here's a funny story that just happened to me. I get accosted by these people who want to break up my videos into shorts every day for a fee.
Yep.
And every now and then, like, someone will put together a good pitch that's well written. And that's what I look for. And I say, okay, fine. Make me one sample.
Let's see what you got. I saw one come through your email.
Yeah. Oh, you watched it?
Yeah.
So you do read my emails. I knew it.
They emailed you at like the Seller Summit email address. It wasn't.
No,
like,
they didn't.
Yes, they
no,
did. They didn't. It was not.
They
I
did
can't,
not.
Yes.
You read my emails.
No, trust
it's okay.
me. I do not.
I got nothing to hide.
It's just but NBA highlights. That's all it is. Nothing good.
I watched it. It wasn't horrible. Well, I don't know which one you watched, actually. I've done this with like three or four people.
It was early on, because this is when we were talking about, should we hire someone to do something similar with podcasts? Like, that was, and so when I saw the email, I thought it was about you contacting someone about our stuff. It's the only reason why I clicked on it. And then I realized like halfway through it had nothing to do with our stuff. I was like, well, I'm invested.
Whatever, Tony, you read my emails. Okay, anyway. So I watched it and it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. And then during one of the office hours or Friday check-ins, Charles Ciccolo, I'll give you a shout out. He's like, hey, have you tried this new tool called Opus? And I was like, no, I haven't, but I will now. And I tried it and it was almost exactly like the style that I got from that guy who's using it as a service.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the way you can tell is, you know, the captions, it uses the same yellow writing with the outline.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like the same feel. So I'm guessing that all that guy's doing.
It's using Opus and then tweaking it.
Exactly.
Good for him.
Yeah. But anyway, it's stuff like that. Well, once I discovered Opus, I'm not going to hire that guy anymore.
No, but there's a million other people that haven't discovered Opus. So
it's correct. It's correct. But that's like it's short-term thinking. If you can start a business that way, it's just a matter of time before someone finds out about that and stops using you, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I lost track of that. So that's one of the
tools. Well, that's a positive AI tool. That's
it is a positive AI tool. Actually, all the tools are positive. I will say that I just recently was chatting with Jeff Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how Google backtracked on their AI content where they said, hey, it's fine to use AI content as long as, you know, it helps. Well, it turns out now I think they're not publicly reversing that stance. But since he's in the industry, he's been saying that a lot of people who've been going heavy on AI aren't ranking anymore or losing their rankings.
So this is my, like, this is way more philosophical than we want to talk about for the podcast. But if AI learns from published content, right? Like, it's got to have something to learn from. If it starts learning from itself, does it become smarter or dumber?
You know, here's the thing. If Google were to ever change their business model where search doesn't drive traffic to a website, I'm not blogging anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then what is AI going to learn from?
Right.
At some point, it's going to run out of stuff and it's just going to be learning from itself, I guess.
Yeah. It reminds me of like, what's that movie with like Will Smith where the robots turn on them and like they become smart. I don't know. All that stuff. It reminds me of like that, you know, to the 10th degree or whatever. But
yeah.
I often think like, well, if AI starts learning from itself, it will probably dumb down versus get smarter. In a way.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't know how it works. Well, what's funny is I was just at a reunion of my last company, and everyone there is working or started an AI startup. And they were just filling me in and all this stuff. Like I felt like a techno noob.
Yeah.
They were talking about, they're on the low level side, like the processing, because that's what I used to do, microprocessor design. They were talking about the processing and stuff. But everyone and their mother is working on this stuff right now. So
I mean, it's definitely the next thing. I think if nothing, you should be experimenting with it. So one of the tools that I use all the time is Tailwind, does Pinterest scheduling, does Instagram scheduling. They came out with an AI tool to help you write Pinterest descriptions and I think titles for your pins. I actually think that's a good use of AI because it's not quite as important as like the Google search, right? Because Pinterest is so image heavy. I think the image is still more important than the text in Pinterest. So like to me, if if the writing of the descriptions and things like that keep you from using Pinterest as a traffic tool, then I think AI is an excellent tool for you to use. The problem is, I think Tailwind's AI is terrible. Like, when I have tried to use it, and it pulls like the URL. So it's in theory pulling from the blog post that you're pinning, right? So in theory, it should have all the data that you need. It just reads terribly. Like, and I'm sure it's one of those things where it will get better over time. But right now, it would make sense to me, if you want to use AI for something like Tailwind, you wouldn't use their native tool, even though it's far more convenient, right? Because it's all built in. You would use another tool like ChatGPT or Bard or something like that to get the content and the title and then just plug it in. So that's one case where I feel like the use case is good. The execution so far, not amazing, but I think there's other tools you can use that would solve the problem.
I use it all the time. Do you want to talk about how we're using it?
Yeah.
Just in general. So I use it for every single title, for every podcast, every YouTube. I literally tell it to give me 10 choices. And mm-hmm. if I don't like them, I ask for 10 more. And then I massage them into something that actually kind of sounds like me. Mm-hmm. A tasteful clickbait is what I like to call it. On the YouTube stance, I have it turn blog posts into YouTube scripts, just my own blog posts, to make them more interesting. And here's an interesting use case that I literally just started using it for yesterday. So we just hired a customer service rep. Mm-hmm. She's answering all our phones now for Bumblebee. And I'm having her do email marketing. And yesterday I had her draft an email about our tray cloths and lace doilies coming back in stock.
Ooh, I've been waiting. We're waiting for my doily.
And she's like, oh God, I got to write an email or sentence about this. And I was like, okay, well, just open up ChatGPT. And then I was like, here, try this prompt, see if it works. Write me an email that promotes lace tray cloth and doilies from Bumblebee Linens. And then it wrote this paragraph, and then we kind of massaged it together, and mm-hmm. that was the email.
Okay, because
she's not
yet?
A great writer. She's not a great writer, but with ChatGPT, she's a pretty, you know, she can make edits to something. She just can't come up with something from scratch. Actually, neither could I. We tried to do it without ChatGPT in the beginning. I'm like, oh, these doilies are so beautiful.
I can't wait to sit them all over my house so my grandchildren can talk about them in 50 years. So I actually think that your YouTube process using AI is very clever. And I think that it is if you have been hesitant to get on the video bandwagon for whatever reason it is, but you have a content site, you have a blog that you've been blogging for a long time, this is your in to YouTube. And that is getting AI to write your scripts for your videos based on your blog content. And if you have a lot of content on your blog, this could provide you with 100 videos right off the bat. Could you go into a little bit more depth about exactly your process? Because I think this is pretty fascinating. And I think for people that just feel like, well, I don't know what I would say, or I don't have time to write a script, this could actually push them over the edge of getting started.
I mean, the nefarious way to do it is, even if you don't have a blog post, you mm-hmm. take someone else's blog post, read it into ChatGPT using one of the browser plugins, mm-hmm. and then just say, hey, summarize this article, and then create me a YouTube script based on this post. Throw it on a teleprompter and make the video.
That feels very shady.
It's shady. It is, but that's what a lot of people are doing right now.
I mean, I guess everyone copies each other's blog posts too, so it's not...
That happens. Yeah.
Not verbatim, but like if you're writing about the top 10 high interest savings accounts, everyone's blog post is basically the same.
That's what I mean by this.
Yeah.
Because of AI, the spam is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't... You should see my blog posts. There are these Chinese companies that copy them mm-hmm. almost verbatim. But then they'll change like one word in the sentence, or every other sentence they'll change a word. So it reads exactly like my blog post. And I recognize my own handwriting.
Right.
Now with AI, I think they could probably do a better job doing that. Right? It gives a huge advantage to someone from China who doesn't... Mike Jackness was on the podcast yesterday. and we were just chatting about, you know, Amazon bullet points and, mm-hmm. and descriptions. In the past, it was really obvious when a factory yeah. came in and wrote a bullet point, but now they can just use ChatGPT to write bullet points that actually sound decent. I mean, they might still sound a little off, but at least it's grammatically correct and reads okay.
Yeah. So we talked about the nefarious way. What you're doing is taking your own blog posts.
Correct. I'm taking my own blog posts.
Feeding them into ChatGPT, getting a script. Then you edit the script a little bit, I think, right?
I do. Yes, absolutely. I edit it.
Yeah. And then you throw it up on a teleprompter and you create your videos from that.
That's correct. That's correct.
I mean, I think that's a genius way to use it. That I think that's a way to me where I see like you're using it, you're leveraging the technology without compromising the quality of the content or creating spam. Like this is stuff that you've already published or been writing. Because I think the other problem is, and this is where I get concerned about like kids using like ChatGPT to write papers and things like that, is that like you have to, if you're writing an article, if you don't fact check that, I mean, you could be providing like wrong information to people. And obviously if you're talking about like, you know, shopping cart platforms, it's not the end of the world, but for other pieces of content, it actually does matter that you have your information correct and accurate.
That's correct. And here's the other thing that people are doing also. They're reading, they're creating like transcripts of YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, the transcript's already available, but you can have ChatGPT read in the transcript, summarize a video, and create a script that's just like someone else's popular video. Stuff like that's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's annoying.
Yeah.
But again, you probably can't even tell.
Which is why I think, side note, like personality-driven brands are going to matter even more.
I agree. I agree 100%. Unless there's like a really cool AI personality, because in Japan, there are these yes. AI personalities already that are very popular.
Yes. But like you think about, I mean, obviously there's a lot of, no one listening to this podcast is in this situation, but you know, Mr. Beast, you can copy whatever he does. You are never going to be him. Like he is a personality driven brand. Some of these like giant creators, like a Pioneer Woman, right? Like you can AI her recipes. You can do all that. You're just never going to, like, she's a personality driven brand at this point. Most of the people listening, or all the people listening, are not personality driven brands yet. But I think that's where it becomes so important to interject your personality into what you're doing, because we talk all the time about this. People follow you. No one is out there doing something like so unique. Everyone's doing, like, you talk about how to start a business online store. Well, so does like 50 other people that offer a course, that have the training. They have the same stuff. Some of it's probably better quality produced, but people connect with you because of your message, your background, your like anti-hustle culture. If that resonates with people, then they're going to choose to follow you over perhaps someone else. And so having that personality where you let people in a little bit and kind of get to know you, I think is going to become so much more important than it's always been important, but I think the priority is just way higher now.
I agree. And the other thing that makes me feel a little better about just the whole AI situation is that AI still spits out like random facts where I don't know where it pulled it from.
Yeah.
I actually just did this the other day because I was looking for like a filler sentence about like the background of a company that I was writing about. Like, I just want to know who the founder was, where it was founded, and that sort of thing. So I asked ChatGPT, and it gave me something that sounded great. And then just in case, you know, I Googled it, and the guy was made up. Like, the guy didn't exist. The guy did not exist at all. So I'm like, okay, well, I already don't trust the information that ChatGPT gives me, which is why I Googled it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the perception right now, just in the general public, that AI doesn't give out reliable results.
Yeah.
And so that's like a plus one for still people using search, because if you're trying to find out maybe some remedies for like some medical condition, mm-hmm. you're not going to use ChatGPT for that, right?
No.
You're going to probably Google that.
Yeah. I worry though. It's kind of funny that you talk about this made up guy, because I was actually having a conversation with Andrea this morning about customization and having a store that does customization, how that sets you apart, things like that. And how you have to use really you have to use some sort of app or tool in your store to be able to do customization. You can't just have people type it in the comments of an order, right? Like you have to, people want to be able to see stuff like that. And she's like, yeah, she's like, every time I do anything, I use the name Emmanuel Higginbotham to make sure that the text fits, right? Because she's like, that's the longest name she could think of. And I was like, you've just been using like a made up name. She's like, no, I went to grade school with this kid and I felt bad for him that his name was so long. She's like, but I've been using it for years to test like length on personalization. I'm like, this poor guy is like, his name has been used in all of Andrea's orders to double check things before.
I don't get the use case actually. Why use a?
You know how like if you have a long name and you personalize something, it might split the name on two lines because it can't fit into the area.
Oh, okay.
So that's the longest name she knows. So she puts that in there. So if they don't split that, then they won't split whatever she wants to do because there's nothing longer.
This is for her print-on-demand store, right?
Yes, this is for that kind of. So she's using that to test. And I'm like, that's like, it's like this. I thought it was like an AI thing. And she's like, no, I went to school with this kid. I'm like, little does he know his name is in the back end of every print-on-demand software tool out there.
That's too funny.
But yeah, that's my worry too, is the just the made up stuff. You know who is doing AI in their subject lines? And that's as interesting too, because a lot of these tools, a lot of these non-AI tools are using AI, like Klaviyo. Have you noticed they have a subject line assistant?
They do, yeah.
Yeah,
I tried it actually. Yeah, it's exactly.
Terrible. And that's where I feel like a lot of, listen, if I was an email service provider, I would incorporate AI to like try to be more sexy to potential clients, right? I'd be like, ooh, we have AI tools to help you with your content. Like I would 100% try that. But for the most part, what I have found is when like Canva does AI for images, they're terrible. The people look wonky.
Actually, I heard it works okay. Jen tried it the other day to
depends what to you remove. Need.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to actually generate an image, it better not have a person in it. If it has a person in it, they've got four fingers or their nose is on the side of their face, things like that. Just very strange looking. But same with Klaviyo, like their subject line assistant. I've tried it multiple times. I've never once had a subject line come up that I thought was better than mine. And not that, I mean, I'm good at subject lines, but like theirs were just generally bad.
It reminds me of, and we're going to date ourselves here, when the internet first came out, everyone needed a .com. Well, everyone needs AI in their tool right now.
Yeah.
Right. Just so they seem current in what they're doing. I'm sure it'll get there at some point.
I have no doubt that they'll all get better at it, especially like email providers or Canva. Like they'll get better data and the tool will improve. And I think it's nice to know that you can generate an image, but I also feel like once again, all the images are going to start looking the same because they all have that. I mean, AI images look like AI images right now. Like you can spot them a mile away. People are using them on dating apps. They're AIing themselves on dating apps. And I'm thinking,
is that right?
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, people are going to see you in person, right? Like it's immediately going to know that like your nose is not that pointy.
Then you got to get the click first.
Yeah, you got to get the swipe. Got to get the swipe.
Right.
But
yeah, get the swipe first and then you counteract the deception.
Yeah. And then you wear a ball cap. Hopefully they don't notice. But yeah, I think that's the other reason. Like, I think there's a time and a place for like the AI images. Like, we use an image with this podcast every week. We have an image that sits on the blog where people can click on. That image is irrelevant. It's not, as far as I know, no one sees that thing unless they go to the blog and click on it. It's not in iTunes. In iTunes, it's our podcast image. So to me, that image could be AI all day long. I don't care about the quality so much. Like, I mean, I want the image to match what we're talking about, but it's not, I don't put any time or effort into finding an image. But I think on a blog post or as a YouTube thumbnail, like, I don't want to use an AI-generated image. I'd rather use something that looks a little bit different and sets myself apart from other people.
I don't know if I agree with that, and only because I have fellow YouTube buddies who are using AI.
Yeah.
And they're overlaying stuff, and it's worked out okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's got a huge range of what it can put out. I think you're specifically talking about, like, the people avatars, right, that you see on, like, Instagram that people were...
Those are bad.
we're putting out.
Yeah.
There's this tool that I used not too long ago. It was maybe a month ago. It was, you know, that whole faceless YouTube video thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you feed in a script to this tool, and it automatically goes out and finds B-roll and images that match your script. And then it has an AI voice, and you can select among a bunch of voices to just create the video in one blow. Still not that great, but, you know, it was watchable.
Okay.
And if we see all those types of videos on YouTube, like, I'm just going to go nuts, I think. Like, I think Google has, like, this huge problem on its hands. Amazon has a huge problem on its hands. And I don't know what's going to – I don't know what – you know, I think the days of deposit photos and all those photo sites is pretty much over, though.
Yeah, that – I would agree with that.
Like, I would not want to own one of those sites because you can probably get a photo that looks – and I've done this with Midjourney. When I just need, like, a stock-looking photo
– yeah.
I just type it into Midjourney now. I don't even bother. I still have a deposit photos account.
Yeah.
With the whole bunch of credits, I stopped using it.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think for that type of stuff, if you need a stock image, like in a PowerPoint, things like that. Honestly, I don't think PowerPoint uses AI. Do they?
You're talking to someone who uses PowerPoint 2007.
I have the newest one. I don't think they use, anyway.
Do you have to pay a subscription? This is just... Do you pay a subscription to your Microsoft stuff?
I do pay a subscription to my Microsoft because I can share it among all my computers, and I use three different computers. And so all my stuff is shared in the whatever the Microsoft cloud is called.
OneDrive.
Yes,
yeah.
Which I find exceptionally annoying. But the problem is that, like, I have a Mac. So, like, you can't just open documents on a Mac unless they go into, like, Pages, and then they're wonky and... So yeah, I caved years ago because I was like, I can't keep doing this.
That's why I'm still using Microsoft 2007. I'm using Adobe Photoshop CS6, which is the last non-subscription based.
Okay, but what happens if you get a new computer?
I just install it on a new computer.
Is it like on a disk drive?
I have it on. I have it backed up on my NAS. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I install as many computers as I need.
Oh.
I had the last known paid Adobe Acrobat version 2. I think that wasn't on subscription.
Yeah. With Mac, I don't think you have that same level of cheapness ability.
I mean, it's something that I don't even use that often. Why would I pay a subscription for it? That's my attitude.
I use it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like Google Docs isn't...
I use Google Docs all the time, but I also use... Yeah. I mean, every other week we do a lesson with... I use PowerPoint.
That's true. PowerPoint, I guess. But I wouldn't have to do that. I could get by using the Google
Slides. I hate Google Slides. So in the course that I just did, we used Google Slides, and I will never do that again.
Really?
And it probably has to do with my knowledge of PowerPoint. It's kind of like people who use Excel, right? They're just like with all the formulas and like just you're like, oh, I just made this amazing thing and it took me 4 seconds. That's probably like I'm not at that level of PowerPoint, but I know how to do all the things. I know all the shortcuts. And Google Slides is just, to me, clunky. You don't have the same, I don't know, you probably do. I just don't know how to use it. So, yeah, I'm not a Google Slides fan.
I'm not a power user in either tool.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're old and crotchety now. It's hard for us to learn new things.
We are. But, yes, that Microsoft subscription is, like, one of the banes of my existence. But just right before we recorded this podcast, I had to get a Word document opened that was very important. And... on a Mac, it's just not going to open right without Microsoft Word.
Okay, so you haven't had luck with this tool, but I actually just saved another podcast with the podcast AI tool.
I hate literally that did. Tool.
It's going out today. And I screwed up my audio this time because I used the wrong microphone.
It
sounded horrible. I ran it through the AI tool. It sounds perfect.
You listened to every minute of it.
I did. I listened to all my podcast episodes before they go out because. Every now and then I'll find something that the editor didn't pick up.
Every time I have run audio through that tool, like it's talk, normal, talk, sounds amazing. The devil is coming. And then it's like literally it's some weird demon-esque voice that like cuts through. And then it's like talk again every single time, three times.
It's, you can't remove dog noises, dog barking, and
it wasn't the dog barking.
Like, there's limitations. It was, right?
It was because the vacuum was on in the background. It should have removed that.
No. It's not gonna remove a vacuum, but it'll take crappy audio and make it good audio.
But it shouldn't also sound like someone's talking over you, which we, David Krable, and of course, had the same experience where there's like.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but yeah. Like if it's just the audio, that's the problem. Like I interviewed someone who was outside,
yeah,
and there's all this like background ambient noise. It'll remove all of that.
But it won't remove a vacuum. It'll remove a bird.
It won't remove a vacuum.
But it'll remove a bird. Come on. That's not true. In traffic?
It won't remove a bird either. That's correct.
I'm just saying, like, yes, it does make your audio sound better. I did think the audio quality was better. But in all three times I did it, at some point in the middle, it sounded like a demon was talking over me for like 2 seconds. And then it disappeared. So it was almost like someone else's audio got overlaid on mine.
Maybe
hold your comments. Hold your comments.
I was just thinking, like, maybe like you go into this phase where you just start talking like a demon without even realizing
it. Yeah, that's definitely what it is. So, yeah, I will say though, for just cruddy quality audio, the audio, because I had to use it for something, and it did improve the quality of the audio for sure.
I mean, it sounds amazing. Like there was this little clip that I recorded on my phone, and I passed it through. That's what convinced me, because I recorded this thing at a restaurant and it was just all ambient noise, and it made it sound passable. Like I could publish it.
Okay. What's the tool? It's just the Adobe.
It's the Adobe podcast. I don't remember the URL.
I don't know. If you search for Adobe podcast editor, it'll come up. I will say though, if you're going to use it, you have to listen to the recording, because you could possibly have issues. I've had it. David Krable's had the exact same issue. So it's clearly something that's happening. It's not just user error on my part, as it usually is.
It's interesting. Like, you have demons. I have like this cute little voice in the background. I don't know what that says.
You have a little angel talking.
I have a little angel. Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about the other thing that I want to talk about, because we talked about this a while back when you know, this was all AI was sort of becoming a thing. You had just hired some writers. You were like, maybe I won't have writers anymore. Maybe I'll just use AI. But you've actually kept your writers.
Correct. I have.
And how are you using AI? Because I'm not using AI on the blog at all. Probably never will, except for maybe some stock images. But you write very different content than I do anyway. So are you using it at all, or are you just relying on the writers?
So I actually chatted with the writers, and I didn't want them to use ChatGPT to write the article. Mm-hmm. I just made that clear. However, I didn't mind them using AI for the first sentence of the paragraph to best answer the question that people are searching for. So I always want a concise sentence that answers the question, mm-hmm. and then you can write whatever you want after that.
So do you have them do that in AI? Or?
They do that. They do that. And it's worked out. My edits are less, because that's like the primary thing that I care about when I proofread an article, mm-hmm. is the question answered thoroughly. And I was talking with Jeff. He actually has this flow where AI generates the post. Mm-hmm. And it actually does a decent job, mm-hmm. but it's pretty obvious that it's AI.
Yeah.
Let's just say when you've read it enough. So you actually still have to go in there and make edits, which makes things faster, I guess.
Yeah.
Sometimes it outputs a bunch of stuff that, I mean, it's hard to explain until you've actually used the tool, but it outputs all this stuff that just sounds like stock. It's like a stock photo, but it's like stock words.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best way to put it. And you got to change it anyway.
Yeah.
And it's for certain topics, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah. I feel like it almost sounds like someone where English, they've never actually spoken English. They've only learned how to read it and write it, wrote it. Right. Because it's not even formal. It's just not how we're used to reading and speaking. It's definitely this, yeah, it just feels very computerized, I don't know.
But it's grammatically correct.
Yes, yes. It's usually perfect. So
grammatically correct and generic is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
Just like those faceless YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, actually, this is a podcast that's really interesting. I don't know if this is considered AI, but what they do is they publish interviews of Joe Rogan with random people like mm-hmm. Donald Trump. And it's all a simulated podcast using Joe Rogan's voice and like Donald Trump's voice.
Oh, yeah.
And they're having a debate. I don't know who's doing the scripting though for that, but it's very well done actually.
Yeah. See, but to
me, I assume AI is doing the scripting.
That's an interesting use of AI, right? Like it's entertainment, and it's not like the problem I have is that like, and I've seen this with my own kids. Like, you know, my daughter this morning told me I was dropping her off at school and she's like, there's no gas. There's no gas anywhere. And I had to get gas because we have a hurricane coming. And like, I don't know why you need a full tank of gas when you have a hurricane, but you do. Because I'm like, you can't go anywhere. So
in case you need to charge your stuff.
Yeah, everything's already charged. I have a generator too. So it's really.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. Not everyone has a generator.
That's correct. However, she's like, there's no gas. And she's like, not worried, but like, you know, you can tell she's like, we need to find gas. This is important. And I was like, yeah, I should have got it last night, but I wasn't even thinking, you know, I'll get it after I drop you off from school. She's like, well, there's no gas in town. And I said, well, where did you hear that? She's like, TikTok. And I was like, well, we just passed like 3 gas stations and they all seem to have gas. So I'm not like going to stop the car and get gas before I take you to school. But I feel like people will watch these like, so they maybe Donald Trump and Joe Rogan have a fake interview, right? And then people are going to be like, well, Donald Trump said on Joe Rogan, right? And then they're going to take that as like, that's where I get worried. Like there's a lot of people out there who can't differentiate between like what's real and what's just content created for entertainment value or clicks. And then they have actions and thoughts and feelings based on like very false information.
There's this viral TikTok going around. It's a story about how Ariana Grande mm-hmm. saw this black kid and she gave him tickets to her concert and it basically changed his life. And then at the end, it's revealed that little kid was Barack Obama. And I'm like, dude, Barack Obama is like 3 times Ariana Grande's
he
age.
He's her dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's like 60 at least.
But if you look, it's got millions of views. Yeah. I'm like, do people really believe this stuff?
Yeah, just they do, though. That's the thing. Like they don't. And that's where I get super worried about all of this is that I think there's just so much disinformation out there. And, you know, like my daughter was like legitimately stressed about gas. And I was like, well, first of all, who on TikTok? Like, it's probably someone who can't even drive that's making this TikTok video, you know? And obviously it's showing up in her feed because of her location and all that stuff, right? So, but yeah, that.
I'm sure what happened was there was one gas station that was out of gas.
Yeah.
And then you got to find that clickbait title.
Yeah.
To get people to watch. So you say, gas is gone out of every gas station.
Yeah. Well, and it's like there's always one gas station that doesn't have gas, even if there's not a hurricane. There's always that one gas station, like they never have gas, right? Or they only have premium or whatever. But yeah, so that's where I get worried about all of this is people just seem to believe stuff now. I don't know. I don't believe anything, but it's because we're old. We're old and cynical.
I mean, I think the job replacement is real, though.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. I'm just thinking to myself now, like I've replaced a few people just with AI, like just people I don't need anymore.
Yeah.
And it's going to get worse. I mean, when engineers start getting replaced. Oh, here's the thing I use it for a lot recently. I've been doing a lot of coding recently to get mm-hmm. my shopping cart up. And I switched to a new payment processor and I had to code all that up. Hey, ChatGPT is great. I code so much faster now. I just type in, hey, I need a little piece of code that does this. And then I take it. It doesn't work, but at least I know how to debug it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pumping out this code super quick.
Yeah.
Like, I can just imagine, like if I was still working my day job.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe I don't need that new junior engineer to do the stuff. I have my computer here that can make me work so much faster.
This is actually where I use ChatGPT a lot. And that's when I am creating reports for like sales and growth and things like that. And I want to come up with like a metric that maybe we don't, you know, Klaviyo doesn't really have readily available, or it's, you know, some year over year, but also with, and like ChatGPT does a great job of one, giving you formulas to figure that out. And then they also just do the problem for you, right? So they can give you like the Google Sheet formula if you want to like create a spreadsheet with like the cascading data, but then also like just giving you that single answer. Like I've been on calls and someone's asked a question about something and I'm like, I don't have any idea what the answer is, but in 2 seconds I have the answer because I'm able to just type in and I don't have to, this is where I also get worried about kids. It's like, I don't have to think about what that math problem would be because ChatGPT just does the math problem for you. Like you can just say, I need to know X, Y, Z, and it will create the problem, solve the problem, and give you the answer.
I think that's where we're going. Back when we were kids, Tony, yes, it was all about memorization and having knowledge. And then the information generation came along where you don't need to memorize facts. You need to be able to think critically.
Yeah.
And then this next generation is just going to be, how do you ask the AI the right question to get your answer? Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.